Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey everybody, Matt Siltala alongside Dave Rohr for another one of these Business of Digital podcasts. Hey Dave, how's it going?
It is going well.
So we are lucky today. I want to introduce our special guest to you, Damon Goettner, founder of Aspirio. And hey, Damon, what's up, my bearded brother?
How are you, Matt? How are you, Dave? Good to see you guys.
Hey, we're excited that you're going to be on the show today. So also got to give him a huge shout out because this is one of those shows where we got him on last minute, and we're excited to talk about this topic. And so let's just jump into it. What we're going to talk about today, guys, is paid search using offline conversion data and calls, directions and store visits. And I know that this is, you had mentioned this is going to be an upcoming topic and a lot of what you're going to be getting into at an upcoming conference. And you could talk about that if you want. But basically, that's what we're going to get into. And there's some other stuff that we'll jump into. But first of all, I'd like to give you a chance, Damon, just to kind of introduce yourself and a little bit of your background, and then feel free to jump into it, my friend.
No, I appreciate it, Matt. Thank you, sir. And yeah, I jumped at the chance to hop on with you two guys. I've been trying to get schedules coordinated for quite a few months, so I'm glad it all worked out on a Monday.
Yes.
I'm Damon Goettner. I'm a husband, father of three. I do a little bit of marketing as well, and that's how we kind of pay the bills and make sure everybody has a good life. Like we were talking before, I'm a huge soccer guy, so this has been a great summer, even with the U.S. men's national team not being a part of the World Cup. But yeah, a lot of exciting stuff going on. And that's part of, I've had some pretty unique opportunities in the last few months come my way, and one of them is handling paid search for a large traditional agency in Dallas. And that's kind of opened my eyes to a lot of new possibilities, and specifically in how we have conversations with larger brands about some things that I've been near and dear to my heart for, you know, a decade now. So I've been doing digital for just over a decade, started running Facebook ads in 2007 when there was only three ways to target in their entire platform. And then right after that, jumped into some PPC with Google AdWords, and then got into SEO probably in 2010, 2011. So kind
of
a
why it blows my mind that you say I've been doing Facebook ads since 2007. It just blows my mind that we could be that it could be a thing for over 10 years now.
Yeah, well, and that's when I started with Facebook ads, I was doing affiliate marketing. So I was essentially looking for any place that I could buy space on the web where I thought demographically I could get a good match to my target audience, and then we'd run offers. And literally that's how I got into digital marketing. So it's funny to me because in the past decade, I've seen the pendulum swing completely in my own kind of paradigms of thinking from audience-based and offer-based all the way to keyword and intent-based, and now we're coming back around to audience and journey-based, like where are these people at? How can we influence that decision? And that's some of the stuff that's come up in the last few months. I've had a chance to work on some larger accounts and get some healthy budgets flowing through the system.
That's a great place to start, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, you kind of talked about coming full circle and where it was and where it is today. And I know that there's been some major changes to Facebook lately. And so maybe just jump onto that as to like where it is with all that today and how you're handling that. And sounds like a good place to start, and we'll go from there.
No, yeah. So Facebook's been super interesting. In my mind, it's almost much ado about nothing. So we've heard a lot and we felt a lot and we've been told a lot of things are going to change. And some things have, but I can still go target people in ideally the same exact way as I could 6 months or a year or 2 years ago. And as far as the types of campaigns, you know, we got a client right now we're working with that's not what I would consider a political client, but because they're trying to influence voter turnout, and not necessarily on a campaign or vote this Republican or this Democrat, but it's around an oil and gas company, and they're trying to do some pipeline stuff, and so they want to run some social campaigns around their pipelines and maybe influence some town requirements and soften up some messaging that they're trying to push on a local basis. For those, we did have to go through and fill out the Facebook ID and get everybody that's that on the account verified, two forms of ID submitted, driver's licenses, you know, postcards mailed to our home addresses. So we are seeing a little bit, but overall, I can still go target, you know, rich soccer moms or, you know, men that drive Mercedes or whoever the demographic targeting is. The third party stuff and some of the people and some of the data that we have access to through credit unions and through credit agencies and some of that bot data, it tends to get a little bit trickier and some of that will go away. But for now, it's still there.
That's interesting for me to hear because, like, you know, like you just suggested or mentioned, that's all that I had heard, you know, just like everything's changing and you're not going to be able to do all that stuff anymore that you just mentioned. And so it's interesting for me to hear that, hey, really nothing in the last couple of years has changed. I mean, we might have to jump through a few more hoops, but I can pretty much do the exact same that I've always been doing. And that's interesting to hear. And I think it's going to be interesting for our audience to hear and understand that. So.
Well, and, you know, the thing that changes isn't necessarily – all they're trying to do is CYA, right? Everybody just wants to cover their sweet little and make sure they're not left. So that when Daddy Zuck has to get in front of Congress and do the next round of, you know, what are you guys doing over there, they've got some prettier, better questions to frame in for those guys, right? So,
yeah.
And that's all we're seeing is a cleaning up. Okay, cool. You want to use this other pixel that this other client has that's in your same, you know, business manager account? Okay, cool. You got to get them to handshake and approve it. All right, cool. Yep, now everybody's good to go. Okay, cool. So it's really, to me, like a backing in. Now, it will change. Things will change. But really, the things that changes are the way that we interact with the platform and the way that the platform dictates our media spend. Those are the things that change. So Facebook really loves video right now. And single image ads don't perform as well. And native boosted posts perform much better than they have historically. So those are the things that I'm looking for as far as what's changing. And less so of what hoops do I have to go through.
Gotcha. So Dave jump here in a second. But it just the stuff fascinates me. I'm so curious about it. But like, so you have someone coming to you, like let's just say client X in general or whatever. And they're saying, I got a certain amount of money to spend. I mean, are you leading them towards Facebook? Or are you leading them towards AdWords? Are you leading them towards, you know, like where are you? I mean, is it the age-old answer in the search community? It depends, you know, based on their industry and what they're doing. But like, where are you leading people and telling them the direction that they should be going with all this?
I'm trying to lead them to profitability, especially on paid media buys, right? So in that sense, you're absolutely right. It does depend. It depends on their industry and depends on their target audience and depends on their business type and their model. You know, for some of our businesses, paid search doesn't work at all because the cost per acquisition is too high for the initial traffic, let alone the conversion. You know, some of the clients we work with are nationwide restaurants or retail restaurant chains. And if the average order value is $9 or $12 and their margin is 20%, then we're looking at $2 to $4 per transaction to play with. If the cost per click is $3, then AdWords doesn't make sense. So for those clients, we push GDN, we push social, we push Snapchat filters. It really depends on the client, man. You know, in a lot of ways, we got to sit down and figure out where and what have you done? Where are you having success? What is your budget today? If they're coming with, I've never done anything, then it's going to be a lot of testing. Hey, we want to go test these three or four channels, you know, platforms, and we want to test out these three or four audiences with each one of those channels, and here's what budget's going to look like to do that. And then, behind that, here's how we're going to measure success.
Gotcha. Dave, did you want to jump in here, have anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say that might be a good segue into digging deeper into using paid search for the offline stuff because, you know, what does success look like if we're talking restaurants, we're talking stores where yep. That doesn't line up to me pushing someone to your to a website if you're yep. A doctor, dentist, restaurant, yep. You know, retail store.
Also, this might go along, Dave, with what you were mentioning before we started recording, which I thought was fascinating about how you're working with someone that all of their assets were, you know, like the yellow pages or the, like they didn't have actually anything that they owned. So if someone wanted to take over their marketing, they were completely screwed if they weren't happy with their marketing company.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is directly related to this kind of stuff too, I would imagine.
Yeah, 100%. You know, if anybody knows me at all, they know that I love local business for a lot mm-hmm. of different reasons. But And so because of that, it's also then kind of moved me up the ladder of loving multi-location nationwide franchises, because essentially it's much the same, just a bigger beast to wrestle with, right? And for both of those, I think you're totally right, Dave. I mean, when we talk about local, when we talk about attorneys, when we talk about air conditioning repair, service, local service-based companies, then a lot of times the conversion may not come in the form of a lead form submission or necessarily a call through our call tracking number. You know, if it's a local business where somebody might come through you, then driving directions through Google My Business are huge. And so pulling that Google My Business data into your reporting and setting that against your buys or setting that against your Facebook campaigns or setting that against even your organic efforts is huge to see measurable. Just as a baseline, this month we kicked on AdWords, this month over last month, take out seasonality compared to this year over last year, how did we do, right? And for a lot of our clients, it's things like driving directions. It's things like visits to their Google My Business pages, knowing for us, knowing that those are they're going to convert specifically on mobile into actionable items. And then, you know, I get lucky in life, and I've had some awesome opportunities to work with, but Google now gives the ability to actually report on store visits. So for some of our clients, if you have at least $50,000 a month in ad spend and you have at least 30 verified Google My Business locations in your AdWords ad center, or excuse me, in your, you know, in your AdWords account tied to as locations set up, then you can start to get, we can start to get data back about actual cost per visit for not only search clicks, but for GDN display clicks. Yeah, and like Matt, I'm not going to lie. I walked in the first day and sat down and started walking through some stuff, and they were like, yeah, so for store visits, our cost per store visit, and I almost crapped my pants. Wait, how did we, what do we do now? Okay, why isn't everybody running this? And so, and it's slowly, so we've got, I've got some great Google reps, and they've been eye-opening as to the other side of the coin. But, you know, we're slowly getting more, so I can report now on store visits not only just by as a cost per visit, but by actual independent location. So I can say, you know, for a client, like, let's pick one like Pizza Hut. We ran some campaigns with GDN, and we ran specifically some campaigns around your brand name, you know, to try to bolster and so that we're not losing from that competitive edge, right? How did that do? Well, we actually drove, you know, X number of store visits at X dollars per store visit. Those are some powerful numbers. And the real fun part, too, is working with brands that aren't even necessarily what I would consider location-dependent. So, you know, if you're a CPG product, a consumer packaged good, and you sell something that's sold at retailers all over the city, so to speak, so say you're Gatorade, right? Well, you've got distributions at all kinds. But Gatorade wants to know if they're running media, is it having any kind of impact? And more importantly than not, and more kind of to the point, or what we see in real life is that a lot of times those nationwide brands will co-partner or co-brand media with local retailers. So, you know, for instance, Gatorade might do a thing with 7-Eleven, and they run some specials and some sale prices, but did that actually drive any store visits from paid media, from the Google Display, from YouTube ads? And we can actually start to backtrack that and attach actual store visit data for even non-specific stores. So we have a client that's in the bottled water space, so we're able to pull store visit data for stores like Racetracks and Quick Trips and CVS's and Walgreens, knowing that it's most likely not the exact reason that person went into the store was to grab a bottle of this type of water, but they were exposed to one of our ad units maybe once, twice, three times, whatever the case may be, and they did end up in a retail point of purchase place where they could have made the purchase. Now, you go to like a Pizza Hut, it's a no-brainer. You know, they looked at our ad, they went into a Pizza Hut, they bought pizza. So for the restaurants, it works out much cleaner. But even for the other side, you know, Best Buy would love to know if you bought a, if you saw a Best Buy YouTube commercial or even some of their YouTube content and then ended up in a Best Buy, there's absolutely marketable value to that, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is.
Quick question. Shoot. You said to get that store data from Google, you have to have at least 30 locations and spend $50,000 a month.
That's correct. That's what we've been told. We have some that are right
on the cusp.
Yeah.
Close enough. That
exactly. And we've pulled, you know, it's like Google's like anything else. They want to know that there's, they'll give you access to anything if they think it'll help you sell more.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're going to spend more.
That's it. So I went to them and was like, hey, these guys only got 29, but we're not even getting a, you know, like literally a tenth of their overall media budget. And because I sit now in a side where we have some TV revenue coming in and I see the, you know, what they're spending on radio, that arms me and gives me a chance to, oh, okay, cool. We spent $6 million last year on media. 300K went through AdWords. Yeah. But I'm the guy that can tell you that our YouTube ad then went to a store visit. And that's super powerful, right? And so my point is like, it, what it's caused me to do is really rethink offline conversions in all, and just for every client that I come across. Like, well, if that's the Holy Grail is getting them to the store, what are some of these other, like, maybe, like, steps in the Holy Grail process? Cool, they didn't get all the way to the temple, but maybe they got to, like, they uncovered the thing at the piazza, right?
So here's the challenge for you.
Yes.
You, now that you've seen that data and the power, for a smaller business or a location that's still growing, say a local sports store down by you,
yep,
that, or, you know, Portillo's over by.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. How do we? How do
we? Because Matt can't go there, so I'm going to repeat it. Portillo.
Damn you! Can't go there because I can't go there, and plus keto. No.
I know keto. I'm evil. That's what you get for showing me all those taco pictures all the time. You know, they only have 3 locations or 4 locations or 10. Yep. They don't hit those budgets. What other options are there? Is there, like, Foursquare data, which is, you know, somewhat reliable?
Yep.
Is there other Google data? What are options does someone else have to piece that together?
I think you're totally right. Like, you know, this is the conversation where theoretically beacons could start coming in. So if you're really geeked and you really want to know who's coming in and how, you know, what those numbers look like, you could start looking at beacon data. And there's 3 or 4 major beacon network providers that would allow you to put a beacon in each one of your locations. And then provided one of those users has a myriad of apps open and running, then you could pull in that location and, hey, they actually visited our store. And then using something like Domo or BI, you could actually tie those together and say, yep, this user saw an ad, and then boom, they actually visited the store.
Do you want to explain beacons for someone that might not know?
Yeah, for sure. And I'll be totally honest. The example I gave is like a really technical high-end solution. Like,
yeah.
I don't expect most people to do that. If you're, and so let's back that down. Beacons are a technology that essentially is like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. It's a near-field communication technology that allows you and the beacon device to interact and essentially be triggered by an app or a user. So what it allows us to do is know that someone, for instance, is in the Facebook app, and Facebook has beacons. This is one of the biggest ways they've actually grown.
And it's evil because it reminds people like my wife to go to Target and spend more money.
No, so here's the deal. If you've ever been in Facebook and you've driven by a store and it says, hey, you were just at da-da-da-da-da, do you want to leave a review? And you didn't even go in, that's a Facebook beacon being triggered off of you driving by it. If you've ever, if you went to a restaurant and then 24 hours later it said, hey, did you have a good experience at Chick-fil-A? That's a beacon tagging your movement, Facebook not having anything happen with that action, and their platform taking the onus to try to see if A, they got the right data, and B, if they can use that data to then spur you on to make some sort of engageable moment within the platform, right? So when we break all that back, what we really want to do is just know, are people coming to the store? Well, Google My Business does that great. If we kick on paid search, we kick on YouTube, we kick on Facebook, we kick on any type of advertising, then theoretically, the very end point, if you're a local-based business, should be, did more people look at my Google My Business profile? Because if they saw your ad 9 times out of 10, even if, let's say, half the time, they're going to search for you and find out exactly where you're located and what your hours are and what all the little minutia that they probably did not get from your ad. Even businesses that we know very well, that we go to multiple times every month, we still Google the hours, the menus, the specials, all because we're idiots. So in local, it's specifically the number of like redundant searches or people searching for the same information over and over is much higher than other things because they're using it more and they want to know because they're about to head over there. So all those things said, pulling in Google My Business map direction data is huge. Google My Business now gives you like people coming to your store data too. It's not going to tie it back to ad spend for you or to channels and referral channels, but you can at least see, hey, we kicked on a healthy budget this month to test, and we had a no noticeable increase in people in our store. Something's amiss, right?
Yep.
And then the holy grail and for local business as well would be like phone calls. You know what I mean? So are you using call tracking? Do you have call tracking numbers in place? Are you using call tracking numbers separate across each one of your different channels? You know, we're a digital beast, but I still tell people that are, you know, if we're, you know, we advise some clients in print here for billboards and some of that, So I'm always in on that side of the coin, trying to get them to use more call tracking numbers, to use more custom URLs, to use more stuff that just makes it easier to try to find some way to attribute that offline.
You know, this, it just blows my mind, because while we're sitting here talking about this, guys, I just think back to like 2003 when I was like refreshing the website, looking at site counter and like, oh my gosh, this is going from 100 to 200 to 250. You know, you just keep refreshing and you're looking at that little site counter and man, we've come a long way.
Oh, yes. You know, I mean, well, let's just put it this way. When I launched the Denton Diablos, which is my semi-pro soccer team that I founded that we were talking about before, when I launched the Denton Diablos, more important to me than getting analytics on the site, and I know this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, was getting Facebook's pixel on the site.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In my mind, I would actually get more usable data thanks to insights and thanks to lookalike audiences and thanks to some of the other stuff. I was more like geeked and gassed to get the Facebook pixel on the site.
So that is a takeaway for everyone listening, how important getting that Facebook pixel, say that 10 times fast, on your site. So
yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
So that's perfect. And Damon, I really appreciate you taking the time and jumping into this stuff with us. It's fascinating. I don't know, maybe Dave, if you have like another question or final thoughts.
No, it's just, I think people think like digital has to be like, when we talk about digital, and I know we have some ideas for topics coming up where we go offline, and we've talked about in our content marketing stuff, like your wife's favorite beard that I printed out wherever it is in my room. You know, that was, we took online offline, and you know, back and forth. And whenever you're doing any sort of marketing, always think about how it can impact and how you can measure it from one way to the other. And I think Damon gave you a couple great ways to think about and try to dig into your own data to see how your business is being impacted, no matter where.
Absolutely. Agreed. Final thoughts, Damon, before we wrap this up?
No, I appreciate you guys' time. If you, if anybody has any questions, at Damon, Damon, Gochneaur on Twitter, hit me up. I'm an open book. Feel free to ask me anything. I'd love to share any of the data or, you know, alphas, betas, whatever we're doing. Feel free.
And I will tell you guys, everyone that's listening, Damon is just a wonderful human being. Probably one of one of the nicest guys and brothers and friends that I am able to call a friend. And so,
except for those 35 miles I commute between Dallas and Lantana, my home, every day. If you catch me anywhere else but in the car, I promise I'm a nice guy. The rest of the time, total jerk.
That's awesome. All right. Well, for Damon and Dave, I'm Matt Siltala, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Business of Digital podcast. Thanks, guys, for joining.
Bye-bye. Thanks,
y'all. Happy marketing.
Yep.